to who will be joining us to jump in. So we'll get started here in just a few moments, but it's good to see your faces. And again, thanks for making us just part of your day and part of your evening. We really appreciate it. Good evening, everybody. Again, if you're just joining us, we're happy that you're here. It's great to see everybody. We're going to be starting in about 2 minutes, so thanks for your patience. We just want to make sure that we can get as many people in here as possible, obviously, and again, grateful you're here.
Hi there. Can you hear me, Ryan?
Hi, Tiffany. Yeah, we can hear you well.
Okay.
Tiffany, I think we're just waiting for all of our friends, all of our companions to join that want to be a part of it. So I think we're just going to wait another 90 seconds or so and we'll jump in.
Great.
All right, everyone, we are just a few ticks past 5 o'clock. I want to be sensitive and appreciative of everyone's time. And so I would first like to turn it over to our president of our parent association, Mrs. Tiffany Pastor. Tiffany, thanks for being here tonight and thanks for all you do for the PA and for our school. Would you like to open us up here?
Yeah, I know this is a general meeting, a little bit out of course, but in light of kind of where we're at as a school and having returned home, in speaking with our principal, it seemed appropriate to address as a whole the community to talk about where we are at the end of the year. It's Advent as well, and to talk about that and where we're headed into January. I think these general meetings offer an opportunity for our principal to address us in that way. He will address us. I really don't have much parent association business at this point to address, because and frankly, I do want to be respectful of everyone's time. So he will address us and get us updated. After he's done, you can type questions in the chat box. The chat box is going directly to Ann Sanford, who will proctor the questions. If for some reason we run out of time or we aren't able to get to certain questions, those will be addressed at a later time if they don't get addressed here in one fashion or another. So with that being said, I turn it over to Ryan.
Thanks, Tiffany. That's great stuff as always. I appreciate it. And again, just to echo Tiffany's sentiments, yes, I want to be respectful of everyone's time. So I want to move us along well here. I want to be informative. I want to make sure that I provide you all with some good detailed information. And again, just to repeat what she said, the questions will go to Ann Sanford. So when you send those, they'll be sent privately. And then when she asks them to me at the end of the meeting, your name will not be used. So I know that that can sometimes maybe make people not want to submit questions if they know their name's going to be shared. That will not happen. And so it's a great opportunity, again, for me to answer those directly to the best of my ability. I think it's best when at all possible, right, to answer those questions when they're fresh, when they're right there. And then if there's anything I cannot answer, we will certainly get back to you in a very, very short amount of time, but want to try to get all those questions answered today. So the first thing I want to say is just welcome to everybody to this outstanding parent, faculty, and staff and student community. I'm so blessed and honored, and I'm truly reminded every day of the gift that is St. Francis Xavier School and Parish, and I'm so proud to be a part of it. I'm just so proud in this season of Advent to be the principal of this school. We're in a really difficult time right now. We are certainly having to persevere through some real adversity as a school community, but I'll tell you what, we're going to continue to push forward together with love, with enthusiasm, and hopeful that we can, again, address some issues tonight and bring some things to the surface that maybe need to be discussed and continue to really close out 2020, which I know a lot of us are saying, yeah, let's flip the calendar. Let's get to 2021. We can't wait for that. So we will do that soon enough. It's hard to believe, everybody, if you can believe it, it was 9 months ago. It was March 14th. I believe that date was actually a Saturday. It was March 14th when we actually had to make the move to, at the time, hold our school out for 2 weeks. Little did we know it would be the rest of the academic year and then the first 3 weeks of this academic year. Holy smokes, who would have thought that, right? But I can tell you what, 9 months now, here we are, in the present moment, 9 months ago to compared to where we are now, I'm just so proud of this community. I'm just so proud of how we have rallied together to really stick together through this pandemic. It has certainly not been easy. Can't sugarcoat any of it. It's been really difficult on parents, on teachers, and of course, most importantly, our children. But again, we have really showed true grit and true grace. And what we've said from the beginning, we're going to be open to growth, and I think we've done exactly that. I'm reminded, and now every day, because I'm conducting eighth grade interviews in preparation for their high school interviews and for the high school application process, I'm constantly reminded of the good and the hope that exists in this community, because I get to talk to these kids every day. And they acknowledge how hard it is being an eighth grader in a global pandemic, but they also acknowledge how they've had to persevere through the tough times. They've had to learn in different ways and how they're going to be really taking all of these troubles and all these tough times and making a better path moving forward. So I'm so impressed with the students of our school. I want to start there. As we prepare for the birth of our Lord, there's so much to anticipate with joy, especially in this time of great stress and uncertainty. And so we are so strong together. I'd like for us to start this evening with a prayer. And of course, what we always do during Advent and Catholic Schools Week, we start with an examine. So I just want everyone, wherever you are, to just take a deep breath. And I invite you now to please just close your eyes and recognize that the Lord is with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight, I invite you to pray the examine. So again, just please take a moment and put down any distractions. Make sure you are seated comfortably. Please close your eyes. Take a deep cleansing breath. Breathe in all the goodness around you. and breathe out anything that may be bothering you, worrying you, or distracting you. Continue to breathe slowly and gently, remembering that you are always in the presence of God who loves you. Yesterday, we began the third week of Advent, or Gaudete, Sunday. Gaudete means rejoice in Latin. The spirit of joy that begins this week comes from the words of Paul and is marked by the third candle of our Advent wreath, which is rose-colored. Who are the people and what are the things in your life that bring you the most joy or you are the most grateful for? Take a moment and thank God for them now. Using your memory and imagination, recall your day, almost as if you were watching a movie. How did your day start? Who were you with? What did you do? What brought you the most joy? Reflect on the times when God was especially present to you. Where did you feel God's loving arms wrapped around you, just the way Jesus felt Mary's arms? Where did you see, hear, or feel God there with you today? As we reflect on the light and joy, we also look to those times that have shadowed or have been shadowed or dark. Was there a time when you were not joyful or where you were not your best self? Ask the God who loves you for forgiveness. Finally, we look forward the rest of our night and into tomorrow. We ask God for the grace to help us live out today and tomorrow in joy and gratitude, saying yes to his love and living as he would like us to, as the best version of ourselves. As we end our prayer, know that you are loved and that God looks upon you with great joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You're now welcome to open your eyes, and I hope that that certainly helps us get started here. And again, thanks for making us part of your night tonight. So the first topic I'd like to talk about is just the decision-making process. And obviously the decision-making process when it comes to all things COVID is a lot more cumbersome than regular school administration decisions. And I think that it's just important for this community to know that decisions regarding COVID-19, and especially ones that are so serious about being on campus or not on campus, are not done in a vacuum and are really, really done through the consultation of the Maricopa County Department of Public Health, but then also some of our great parents and support staff here on our campus. So parents, teachers, people who continuously want the best for all of our kids, for all of our teachers, and for all of our families. And so it's really important that you know that, again, things are done through great consultation. If you look at particular factors in general, we are looking at the level of community transmission, and that's in Maricopa County. Those three metrics, which are the cases per 100,000 individuals, the percent positivity, and the CLI, or the COVID-like illness that's being reported. We're also looking at the importance of our St. Francis Xavier community and the numbers that are actually happening in our own community. And as you know, for the great majority of this 2020 school year, of the fall, we've been very blessed that we've had overall very low numbers and low spread. And so again, when cases are identified, you know, looking at how many classrooms will be impacted, how many children total will be impacted, the percent absenteeism in the school, the number of teachers or staff that may be out at any given time because of quarantine or positive cases, the importance of in-person education to the social, emotional, and academic growth and well-being of our kids. All of these are incredibly important factors that we have to look at in totality to really continue to pave our way forward. I think it's important, and I know I put this out there, but just, and I spoke recently to the PA board and the school advisory board, just about the importance of, you know, approaching this in terms of my philosophy is that, that children do learn best on campus. I want people to just know that our kids are better on campus. And again, when it is safe to do so, that is exactly the way forward. And that's exactly how we are going to continue to proceed. It's also really important to know just in terms of community spread and how it's defined. When I go through that consultation process with the county, if a school or district has one or more of the benchmarks in the red category, a substantial category, for two or more weeks, that's when we started consulting with the Maricopa County Department of Public Health. And that started about 6 weeks ago, really, when we started to see the uptick in numbers, and we started to see in that first metric that went red was actually the cases per 100,000 individuals. If a school district or a school in general has all three benchmarks in the substantial category, that's when you should consult the Maricopa County Department of Public Health. And that recommendation as of right now would stand to move to virtual learning. And the thing that is interesting about that is, so I believe it was December 3rd, which was not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before, I put out a letter that was ultimately kind of highlighting the next 5 or 6 weeks for us, which I put out that bookends plan, meaning we were scheduled to go on campus until what would have been today, the 14th, all the way through the first week in January, getting us back to campus on January 11th. That plan is still in motion. The only difference was, unfortunately, we had to move to distance learning sooner than we had hoped or anticipated. And again, I want to be able to kind of explain the rationale behind that and kind of what happened. So again, focusing on data and focusing on numbers, the first 11 weeks that we were on campus, and that first day, I believe it was right after Labor Day, which was September 8th, we had 6 cases for our on-campus community in those first 11 weeks, 6 cases. That is obviously significantly low spread. And that is, those are low cases. All 6 of those cases matter to me because all 6 of those individuals matter. I know they matter to all of our community. So thankfully, again, with numbers being low in Maricopa County and on our school campus in totality, we're able to move forward with on-campus learning. And we were able to do so really successfully with our mitigation strategies of mask wearing, distancing, and hand washing. So I want you all to know those things do work. And I believe that they've worked really well at our school. The thing that became really challenging, and it became very apparent a week ago, was that after Thanksgiving, where we had 6 cases prior to that Thanksgiving break, we then had 9 in the week and a few days after that. And where we could at one point say there was no chance, or what we believe to be no chance of on-campus spread, that was different in these most recent cases where you could point to a potential on-campus spread situation. And so when you see 6 cases for 11 weeks, and then you see 9 cases in about a week to 10 days, it obviously is pretty alarming and jarring as well, quite frankly, because it just shows that clearly the numbers in the community, Maricopa County community, were starting to impact our St. Francis Xavier community as well. And so again, it's kind of my course of action, not to make a knee-jerk reaction ever. I wanted to always think things through, again, go through the consultation process, pray on it. And ultimately where we landed was knowing that we all assume risk coming to school and really living our lives each day. And I just want, again, it to be known, I'm comfortable assuming that risk, you know, coming to work. And I mean, I think that the teachers, and I think parents and kids are too. I think that there's a little bit of a difference though when we assume risk based on possible spread versus what would be likely or inevitable spread. In those first 11 weeks, there was obviously possible spread. What happened post-Thanksgiving was that it became a situation after consultation with the doctors of the county, it was more likely spread or inevitable spread. And so that is really what prompted us to move to distance learning a little bit earlier than I had hoped and anticipated. And again, trying to do things with data, trying to do things also through that lens, as I said in the beginning, of what's best for kids socially, emotionally, for their academic well-being. I thought that the bookends approach was a really responsible way of saying, okay, we see spread going up in the county. We want to make sure that we're being safe for all of our kids and our teachers and staff. And we want to do the least disruptive thing to our kids academically. So a week at the end of 2020, a week at the beginning of 2021, I felt was prudent. And I felt like it was, again, maybe not perfect, but the least disruptive to the overall academic and again, all the wellness of our kids and the wellness of our teachers and staff as well. We didn't make it to that point, and that's okay. That happens. Again, I felt like because of the situations that occurred a week ago, we had to make, again, a really tough call, but one that I stand by, again, looking out for the greater good and looking out for the community in totality. It's also important to know that going into the week after, the week after that, so what would have been a week ago from tonight, we would have had 20% of our student body off campus, either through opting out or through mandated quarantines by the county. And so that's through positive cases. Some because of some on-campus situations, but also things that were happening off campus as well. But again, 20% of the student body was set to be quarantined or was opting out until Christmas break. We also found out, as the week progressed, we had an additional faculty case, which unfortunately yielded the quarantine of six additional faculty members. And so you kind of started to see what happened last week was really just kind of this of an expansion of COVID-related issues that were really sidelining a lot of people, a lot of adults and a lot of kids. And again, the most important thing is that all of our community members recover and get well. We know that this virus is very, very problematic and is very troublesome. And our number one priority is to care for those individuals and to look after them and to look after our community at large. And so again, just trying right now to provide some rationale and just an understanding of why we proceeded the way we did and how we proceeded there. Obviously having, if you start to have a great number of faculty members that are either quarantined or not able to be on campus, that creates some staffing issues too. There's already a sub shortage in the state of Arizona. I could tell you that we've actually, I think, navigated the substitute teacher situation pretty darn well as a community, but it's been very, very challenging. And so again, when you start to have faculty and staff unable to come to campus, that also creates staffing issues for on-campus learning. We also want to make sure that, again, looking at each classroom and making sure that it is as safe as possible for everybody. So I think that with, let's also kind of call it how it is in terms of just overall stress levels are high. I know for parents, for faculty and staff, for our kiddos, I have seen their eyes light up being on campus. And so that is really, again, just proven more, given me more, you know, validity in a way of proceeding of being on campus. And that's why when we put out the original roadmap 2 weeks ago regarding the last week digital and then the first week digital, again, trying to shorten that window in a safe and responsible manner, but that would ultimately get us back to campus as soon as possible. And we are hopeful that, again, that is January the 11th, so the second week of the spring. Partnership with parents, I can just tell you, this is the absolute best parent community. You all just continuing to show your support, and I know that it's not, I know that it's been through some frustrating situations. I know that you're having to turn your living spaces into classrooms and continue to help support your kids, you know, in the day-to-day learning as they're learning online. Their teachers are doing great work, but I know that that still creates a lot of stress on you as parents. So please know that I really do empathize with that. And I again, want to do everything we can to make sure that we can come back to campus as soon as possible and do it safely. So proud of our faculty and staff. They have really, really worked tirelessly to make sure that they are providing our children on campus and at home with the best possible experience. We know how special St. Francis Xavier is. We intend to keep it that way, but it's really through the hard work. Again, it's partnership of parents and the hard work of our faculty and staff. And then our kids, I don't know if we have any students on the call tonight. I hope that we do, but if they don't, when they hear this recording, if they do, we have the absolute best kids at our school. They really are kids for others. And they have worked hard. As again, I said in the beginning, our eighth graders have just shown me so many great examples of what it means to really be student leaders and what it means to be kids for others. So I just had to kind of interject that here in the middle, just grateful for everybody. So again, you know, I know questions might come up of, well, how do we, you know, how do we get back to campus? And I think that the number one thing we need to look at is our own St. Francis Xavier numbers, right? Our own SFX numbers need to be low, especially in the student and the teacher and staff population. And we want to make sure that, again, those numbers start to decrease and subside, which is why it is really important that families keep in touch with me and keep in touch with our school during Christmas break. That's another thing I want to let families know. I will take a few days during the break, but I'm still going to be available to by email and for those quick conversations that need to happen. Because again, I want to make sure that we're still navigating this every step of the way. So that communication is really important during break. We're going to have a Google form that will actually be released this Friday so that you can report to us the things that are happening. If there are any COVID positive cases that you're exposed to, or any, heaven forbid, and hopefully not, any COVID positive cases in your household. All of these things will help us to really paint a picture during Christmas break and when we get back during that first week to look at our overall student and faculty and staff health. And I think that that's really important as we then try to make the best decision, again, which is hopefully back on campus January 11th and moving forward. We know that there's great optimism with the vaccine that is, I know, just been, I think, even circulated today from Pfizer. And then I know that there's a Moderna product that's going to the FDA approval here pretty soon as well. So we're hopeful that the vaccine ramps up and really helps, again, create lower numbers. But we're still in the thick of it right now. And so we want to make sure, that, again, that we're taking it step by step and responding accordingly. We're also going to continue to monitor those three benchmarks at the Maricopa County Department of Public Health school metrics, which again, the cases, the percent positivity, and the CLI. But we want to make sure that everything starts to trend down so that we feel like we did, again, for three straight months, we were able to overall have a really safe and prosperous on-campus experience. We're going to get back there. We want to make sure that we do that in the best possible way and do it responsibly. So again, be looking out for that form here on Friday. Additionally, we will sometime at the end of this week or during the break, early during the break, before Christmas, I'll be updating the open to growth plan so it reflects the spring. I know we're on trimesters, but the spring, let's just call it the spring semester, until we get to the end of our school year in May. So we're going to be updating that. And we'll also be providing everybody with the opt-out information and what that's going to look like in the spring. I've recently put out a survey to our faculty and staff to get their feedback on just how the hybrid learning was going. I know that, again, it's been challenging for everyone. What we want to do at SFX is educate every single one of our kids to the best of our ability. And so just working through some of that data this week. And again, we'll be updating our Open to Growth plan. But I just want families to know that yes, we understand that, especially with high numbers, there's still going to be a need for a virtual component, and we want to make sure that we're able to, to offer that to families and to support all of our families. Again, the ones that want to be on campus, the ones that need a little bit of assistance with the virtual learning. On a very positive note, I think that this, again, shows the strength of this community. Thank you, thank you, thank you, parents, and our kids as well, for wanting to be at our school, for sticking with our school through this very difficult time. I'm just so pleased to say that, you know, our enrollment continues to be strong. You know, and I think that really, again, it shows excellence in our teachers, excellence in our families and our kids. This is a very happy and loving and special place. And again, we want to be that way through the pandemic and well beyond the pandemic. And that's our goal. And we're going to get there. We're going to do that. I think it's important as I kind of close this out before I want to take some questions here, obviously, please be safe and responsible during the break. I'm sure you all are well aware the CDC has updated a few different things. They've updated the quarantine guidelines, which I'll be putting in our open to growth plan so that you and the state of Arizona, Maricopa County has also adopted those. Excuse me. So I'll make sure that that information is updated and communicated to the community. But they've also really discouraged travel. And I know that that's something that can be hard for a lot of people, but I really encourage everybody to be as safe and responsible as we can be during Christmas break, because what we want to do is continue to slow the spread of this virus, which we see the case number every day. It's very high. We want to continue to slow the spread of COVID-19 and then get back to campus as soon as possible. And I certainly know the spring is still going to bring its challenges, but we're going to battle through that together. And again, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that point. We don't know when, obviously, and I don't want to project, but we know that we're battle tested. We've been through a lot. We're still going to go through a bit more, but we're going to get through it together. And we are going to get to be able to say, I certainly pray post COVID sooner rather than later. But again, we're going to take it one thing at a time, one step at a time. And I just want everybody to have a safe and Merry Christmas. I'm sorry that we're not all on campus together for the our goodbye to 2020 and our fall semester. But again, I know we'll see each other again really soon in the spring. And I just want to thank you all again for being the absolute best parent community. I'm very grateful to be here and just really appreciate you all. So thank you so much. And so, Ann Sanford, I'm assuming and hopeful that the questions
have been rolling in.
Yeah, have been rolling in. Yeah.
The first one is, how are the teachers doing that tested positive for COVID?
That is so good of, I'm sure that was multiple parents. That's so good of people to ask. So they are certainly hanging in there. I know that it has not been easy for them. I can certainly say that, but I also know that there's been a lot of love and prayers sent their way, which I know has to mean a lot to them. So they're hanging in there. I know it's been tough. So please continue to keep them in your prayers. They're excellent teachers and excellent people, and we just want to see them make a full recovery so they can get back to doing what they love, which is teach, and of course being with their families as well. I know that's been a tremendously stressful time for them and for their families. So thanks for that question. It means a lot, and I know it means a lot to them too.
The second question is, why did the entire school shut down when most cases were in second grade?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I maybe touched on it in my remarks, but I'm happy. That's an important question. I'm happy to follow it up. So immediately following Thanksgiving, you know, I began to notice, we all did, a spike in the COVID-19 cases in not only Maricopa County, but the school, as I mentioned, right? Six prior to Thanksgiving and then nine in the week and a half after. And so the case spike was obviously concerning, but you know, the most important concerning to me was that there was some potential for on-campus spread, and that was really troublesome to me. There's nothing to confirm that 100%, but it was likely. And due to the timing of, you know, putting all those pieces together and understanding that by definition it was considered an outbreak, you know, I that's when I elected to do a one-day pause, which was last Monday. We just did a one-day pause to consult with the county. As I've done, you know, consistently really every week, again, for the last 6 or 7 weeks in that process. I think I said this earlier, but collectively, you know, we all assume risk and acknowledge that we assume risk. But, you know, with that said, depending on Maricopa County spread and St. Francis Xavier spread, the risk varies in possible spread versus likely and inevitable spread. And that's, you know, again, with the county doctors talking to me, that's kind of where it was moving, was that it was more likely or inevitable spread. And tough call, but I just felt like, again, through that process that I've done now for months, I felt like it was the right time to move it in that direction. Again, temporary. That's why when we put out that plan, Anne, and the parents that asked that, when we put out that plan of, you know, we're going to do the bookends deal, I wanted to provide that date of a projected return, right? It's important that people know that, again, that we're committed to doing everything we can to being on campus when it's safe to do so. I'll just point out one more stat, which is not the Monday following Thanksgiving, but just a week ago, from tonight, a week ago, we would have had about 20% of our student body out because of opt-out or because of quarantine, positive exposure. And then just a few days later, we found out that we actually would have had, we've had to quarantine a significant number of faculty and staff, which is unfortunate. And again, would have led to some staffing issues as well.
So the next question is, will we start back in person on the 11th? What would prevent us from not doing that? And if not, can preschool come back?
Mm. To answer the first one, I hope so. That's the goal. And with that said, you know, as we've done the whole year, going to continue to watch the metrics and check weekly with Maricopa County Department of Public Health. And so I'll keep that meeting that I have every week with the doctor again this week, even though we're not, I know we're doing distance learning, continue to keep that meeting and keep that communication open. It's just so important to me that our facility is as safe as possible, and that our kids and our teachers and staff are as safe as possible. And so what I can tell you is that I, of course, will be looping in with people, the community, weekly, and I'll be able to make a more official announcement during that first week that we're back doing DLP2 in January. I have these meetings every Thursday. Sometimes they do go a day early to Wednesday, and so an official announcement would not come later than January 7th, which is that Thursday we get back that we'll be doing distance learning. But again, I'm hopeful we see a decline in those three metrics, and that we see a decline in our St. Francis Xavier community numbers, which goes back to the importance of people reporting using the Google form that'll come out this week. I hope that people do it. We really need everyone to do it. With regards to preschool, I mean, again, I look at it and I want all of our kids and all of our faculty and staff to be safe and to really be proceeding in the same manner.
So can we consider doing a school-wide testing prior to going back on the 11th?
I think it's a great question. I think that the concerns I have about it are the timing of the testing lining up with the return to school. I mean, that can be problematic and could have some flaws in data. You run the risk of a false sense of security because the test only represents at the moment the test is taken. But due to the incubation periods, you could be infectious the very next day, or you could be exposed, you know, the moment after the test is taken. And so I just think it's a really great question, and I totally get, I understand, but I still think that, again, it does present some problems with data and some potential false positives. So, I hope I answered that okay. That's where I stand with that one.
So what measures do you take to ensure anyone isn't coming to school with symptoms?
It's just a great question. You know, an increased reminders that all families need to, no matter what, hold their child home if he or she is not feeling well, if they have any symptoms or signs of illness or just aren't feeling well. And again, also reminders internally to the faculty and staff, we need to be doing the same things if we don't feel well at all. Again, one symptom is too many. Not feeling good, just kind of waking up and not feeling great. We need to stay home. We've got to, again, look out for the greater good. we need to make sure that we're focusing on slowing the spread of this virus. And I think the only way we do that is by being responsible in that way. We are still doing temperature checks every morning on campus. Those will continue. And again, our nurses are always available and are doing general, you know, wellness check-ins on our kids and our faculty and staff to make sure that everybody is feeling good and is feeling safe. But again, it's the responsibility of every person in the community to continue to communicate and do their part to keep us all safe.
So there's a concern that 2 hours of instruction a day isn't enough for the upper grades combined with the independent work. Is that going to be, will there be an adjustment in January, or is that your opinion or stance?
It's a great question, and maybe even better than the question. It's great feedback. I think that's important. You know, to also provide that feedback to your teachers as well. It's certainly good for me to hear it, but also provide the feedback to the teachers. I can tell you this, the teachers, I know, again, through really owning distance learning and going from where they were in terms of just the preparation for distance learning, this faculty and staff has, in my opinion, knocked it out of the park with distance learning. They've done such a great job. So I think that they are very open to the feedback. So I think that what I would first say is, if you have an inquiry about, you know, a particular grade level, I would reach out to that grade band or that teacher. And then obviously, you know, go start there. And then if a further discussion was needed, that's fine. But again, I think that those are good pieces of feedback, you know, for our faculty and staff.
Can you explain what qualifies as hybrid learning?
Hybrid learning is where you have the on-campus and the on-campus capability or on-campus instruction and distance learning instruction or virtual instruction. It does not necessarily mean that it has to be 50-50 straight down the middle. And so our hybrid, if you will, has had varying degrees of numbers, right? I think that when we first came back after Labor Day, and I should know this number and it's escaping me, but I think that we were still at something like 22 to 25% of the student body was still at home. And then as we got closer to Thanksgiving, I think that like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I think we were down to 7% that were still doing virtual learning, or about 52 to 55 students. So hybrid means you have some on-campus learners and you have some at-home learners.
So the next question from several people is, will the faculty and staff, along with the students, be required to receive the vaccine once it's available to enter campus?
That's a good question. So we'd have to look to the Arizona and Maricopa County Health Department and to see their vaccine requirements. I think it's too early to determine that, quite frankly. I don't know the answer to that yet, but I'm, again, happy to follow up. But I think we'll see what shows up on those that required vaccination list, again, from the state and from the county.
So how do parents help with Angel families?
Wow, that's great. And I know that there are many that are in need. I would kindly ask that you continue to communicate with Patty Taney, who is our director of Cura Personalis. She's wonderful and partners so well with not only our Angel families, but those families that are helping support our Angel families. So reach out to her directly. Her email is located on the school website. And I know that she's available all week. And, I know we'll definitely need some time during the break, of course, but always is always pretty responsive to email. And so just reach out to her if you're willing to help out. And she can certainly point you in the right direction. So that is something that I'm so proud of this community, is that, again, in these tough times, people are being so giving and so generous. So thank you for that. It's huge. It's huge.
Would you say that your focus has been on doing all you can to keep the children in school in person?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Has your focus been on doing all you can to keep the children in person?
I believe so. Yeah, I feel strongly that I'm doing everything I can to have the on-campus learning happen. I think it's critical. I think it's very, very important. And again, I think the first 3 weeks were interesting because those metrics at the state had not really, they got created, but it was very, very late in the summer when they were created. And so I just remember reflecting back on kind of my notes that I have of when that all came to be, like how that kind of started. There was still such an uncertainty, right? We had not been on a school campus in so many months. So I think there was just general anxiety and nervousness there. But the thing that we quickly realized is that not only could we do it, we could do it well. And I think that we did do it well. Again, we went 3 straight months without having to reintroduce some distance learning. So I do feel strongly about that. And I do feel strongly, again, about pushing towards that. Again, safely and responsibly, but I do feel very strongly about, again, making sure that we come back to campus as soon as it's safe to do so. I do.
So I think Tiffany wanted to say something about the Angel families as well, and that will be a good time probably to conclude.
Sure.
After Tiffany speaks, yeah?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Ann. So I had a few people reach out about ways to help Angel family, especially with the Angel families. Especially with the cancellation of Breakfast with Santa. And so just as a reminder, if you go on to the SFX school website, there's a box, I believe it's on the left-hand side, that says ways to give. If you click on the ways to give option, there's a form that you can fill out. And if you do not direct your donation to a specific place, in other words, Angel families, in that designated line towards kind of towards the bottom, it will be a general donation that you make. So you can make a general donation to SFX if you wish in that fashion. But if you want to make sure that it's designated for Angel families, you can do that online by putting in the specific, what's the word I'm looking for? The memo line, if you will. There's a question and it specifically says if you don't direct it, it will just be a general donation. And just put their Angel family donation or Angel families or something to that effect. Additionally, Julia Zastro is our Cura Personalis board member. She works with Patty Taney to help figure out what the needs are. Patty is keeping... Patty and Julia will keep a list that they will update on Amazon periodically. It's a kind of a shopping list, if you will, that can be fulfilled. I'm not sure, frankly, where that stands right now. But the other thing to watch for, and anyone is welcome to reach out to myself or Ann Sanford, is our text that will go around saying, hey, the Angel pantry is low on tuna. There's always a need for tuna. If ever anyone questions what to drop off, canned meat is always a good idea. But there are those messages that go around. If anyone wants to reach out to me, you're welcome to do that via Ann Sanford. She can give you my personal email address. I know we don't have like a public chat, or I'd put it in the public chat for you all. But we're grateful for the support of the St. Francis community. I can tell you that in the last several weeks, my husband and I have been a little bit under the weather for probably some maybe more obvious reasons to some than others. But the people who have reached out from this community are amazing. The people who reach out in support of the Angel families are amazing. And the people who just support each other have really proven why we have the wait list that we currently have. I think, I don't know if you said this or not, Ryan, that we have the deepest wait list we've had in years. And I think that's a huge indicator of what our community really represents and the word has gotten out, if you will. there are... a lot of resources available. I just want to remind people on the St. Francis school website. So if you ever have questions about stuff, I want to make sure you guys go there first. Click around. It might take a few minutes, but if you can't find the answer, reach out to someone on the PA board. Ann Sanford can always get you to somebody on the PA board as well. But definitely use our website, because inevitably on that, on the right side of the website, you'll find links that you need or ways to give and things like that. So, Ann, if, unless you have more questions.
I have a few more, yes.
Okay.
So there's a concern, Ryan, that if a student is learning from home, that if a teacher, that the student maybe feels bad. And so how does a parent help that child communicate with their teacher that their parents are requiring them to stay home rather than the child's decision?
Okay, so the if a student feels, when you say feels bad, like is feeling like,
like if a teacher says, why aren't you here? We want you at school. I'm kind of reading into.
I see. Well, again, if these are family decisions. So I mean, if a parent decides that their child needs to stay home, that is completely, it's okay. It's completely okay. And I think that sometimes, you know, again, our teachers trying to balance the on-campus and virtual learners, that is certainly a difficult task. And no matter how many times you do it, it's still challenging each and every day. And so I would just say, you know, again, just know that we internally will continue to show that compassion and that empathy. I would just encourage the students to just be honest and open. You can be private about it, right? Send the teacher an email just saying, hey, this is the situation and I really need to stay home. My parents really need me at home right now. And again, we know we're all going through something different right now. We are. It's so important we remember that. We're all going through something challenging right now. And so I think to meet it with love, to meet it with support is absolutely the most prudent and best way forward. So I hope that helps. Yeah, again, we just want everyone to be openly communicating and just continue to demonstrate that love and that understanding.
Another question, do teachers go through a daily symptom checker as well?
Well, the teachers they take their temperatures upon arrival, and the homeroom classrooms all have thermometers. And again, yes, teachers and staff all know if they're not feeling well, to let me know, let the nurses know, and then our sub coordinator, Mrs. Oliveri, know, so that we could try to find them coverage. And so, yes.
Given that there's a yellow still metric with the county, would you be willing to reopen prior to January 11th for hybrid learning?
Great question. The person asking that, well done on looking at the metrics. In all seriousness, I think it's great that you're looking at that. We'll see it on Thursday. It'll update on Thursday, but it appears very likely that on Thursday, that CLI is going to tick red. And not only for this week, but next week too. So that would be the two in a row. Now, next Thursday, I believe is Christmas. If we look at the calendar, I don't have it in front of me, but it's Christmas Eve. And so the short answer is no. I still think that 1 week after break is very prudent. And again, if people, that's families on behalf of their kids, and then our faculty and staff are all communicating using that Google form to keep myself and the two nurses informed of what's going on, that will really give us a better understanding of how our community is doing and how those numbers are looking, because I want to continue to update GradeLink every Friday, right? Even during break, every Friday, although I think, again, next Friday's Christmas Day, so I'll slightly pivot on that. It won't be on Christmas Day, but Saturday probably, the day after. But nonetheless, continue to update the community on what the numbers for the current week are and the previous week are. We can only do that if we continue to get the reporting from the families and from the faculty and staff. So again, I'm moving forward right now. Plan is resume on campus on the 11th. We just want to continue to see these numbers dip.
That's it, Ryan.
Okay. Everybody, I have to tell you, it's been almost an hour. I'm so grateful for you spending time with us. Again, I know it's late, it's dinner time. You're doing so much for your own families and for your own careers. Please know I'm praying for you and I'm praying for our community every day. I'm here for you all. And again, thank you so much for your patience with me too. I know that there are times, you know, I hope I'm trying not to miss any emails, just trying to stay on top of everything. And so always feel free to give me a kind reminder or a gentle nudge, but know that I'm going to continue to do my best to lead us the best way forward. I feel strongly again about how well we've done and where we're going, and not only for this school year but beyond this school year. And I just I care about all of you, and I hope you have a great night. Happy Advent, Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for all that you're doing for the community, and on behalf of all the parents, we wish you and Anne and all the teachers who are on listening. I see a few of you. Merry Christmas. And we are grateful for all you've done during this. I hate the word unprecedented. So we're going to use the word unique time.
Yeah.
We're very grateful for your leadership. And we're grateful for you coming in at a time in a position in a difficult time as well. We know it's your first year. So with that said, thank you all. I think, Ryan, you'll end the call. And if anybody has anything else, please don't hesitate to reach out. We're always willing and wish to get you the answers that you need to alleviate as much of anxiety as we possibly can during this time.
All right, everybody. Build it up. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.